Good morning and welcome to Christ Central. My name is Owen. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you're joining us for the first time today, a very warm welcome is extended to you. Well, February is our annual Missions Month, and this year the theme is church planting. So the theme of this year's Missions Month is advancing the gospel by multiplying churches. Now, most of you have heard by now that we're praying about, dreaming about, working toward planting a daughter church in Tysons. And Lord willing, this new church will be launched in the fall of this year. And I'm hoping that God will use this year's Missions Month to not only educate our church about the importance of church planting generally, but more specifically, that God might convict and compel and call some of you to join the church planting team and to be co-laborers with Pastor Peter and Jane as you all seek to bring the gospel and a new church to Tysons. And so all the guest preachers this month have had some experience in church planting. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Pastor Moses Lee, who is currently planting a church. And last week, we heard from Dr. Robert Kim, who is currently teaching church planting at Covenant Theological Seminary. And today, we're going to get to hear from Pastor Walter Lee, who successfully planted a church and is now pastoring that church. But before we hear from Pastor Walter, we're going to hear from two brothers who are members of his church. We're going to do an interview, and we're going to get to hear their grace stories. And one of the stories you're going to hear is about how God used Harvest Presbyterian Church to bring him to faith in Christ. And the other grace story is about how being a part of the church planting team has been a way for him to grow in his spiritual maturity in Christ. So we're going to get to hear from these two brothers. First, we're going to start with Sung Kim. Sung, you're a Korean-American. You were born in Korea, but you came to America when you were two, and you grew up in Maryland, and I learned that you just picked up golf during the pandemic as well, so you're a new golfer just like myself. So Sung, you came to faith in Christ through the ministry of Harvest Presbyterian Church. So how did God use Harvest to bring you into the kingdom?
Yeah, so I first came to Harvest because my friend invited me. He said there was a new church plant going on, and I just wanted to see what was happening, and I remember the first time I went, they immediately put me to work, like to help set up and clean, and I thought that was super weird, but it was different because I visited other churches, but it was hard to get plugged in because it was so big, but this time, because Harvest was so small, and it forced me to get plugged in and involved, which I was actually very grateful because thinking about it, I could have potentially passed over Harvest as well. And I do remember that first service, I think the Holy Spirit convicted me. The first sermon was on Nicodemus, where Jesus tells Nicodemus that if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And like Nicodemus, I didn't know what that meant. But I remember praying right then and there saying, God, I don't know what this means. I don't know what it means to be born again. But if it means to follow you and to be closer with you, then help me be born again. And I think that was when I first came to faith.
Amen. Praise God for Harvest that you were able to hear the gospel in that space and to come to faith in Christ. That's amazing, and we give God all the glory for that. That's awesome. And how has being a part of Harvest changed your life since?
Yeah, so I thought up to that point, I thought I knew about God and the Bible, but I come to realize that I didn't really know. So I think Harvest really helped me to understand God and what the gospel was. I specifically remember our home groups, which were like small groups. It was really incredible seeing like all these different people from different backgrounds, different life stages, and we just come together sharing our stories and to come together and trying to learn the Bible together was really awesome. And I think that's when I felt a sense of community. And eventually, while it took a while, I finally understood what the gospel meant. And when I did, it really freed me. So growing up, I was kind of a wayward adult. And, I was always searching for something to somewhat give me a sense of value and worth. But through the gospel that I learned through Harvest, it really freed me. And I'm just so grateful. Things that I thought were important weren't important anymore. And I think really Harvest fostered that.
Amen. And so, Sung, why do you think it's important that new churches be planted?
Well, if there's someone out there just like me, of course, I'd want them to have the same experience that I did, to come to know God, to come to faith, to rest in the assurance of salvation. It's really remarkable, and I think I've received this gift that really needs to be shared with others.
Oh, Sung, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We give God all the praise, all the glory for what he's done in your life. Next, we have our brother, Young Kim. Young, you grew up in Maryland as well, and you're an accountant, and you also picked up golf during the pandemic, and you let me know that you love golf, but golf does not love you back. I think a lot of people in the room feel the same way. Young, you're currently serving as an elder at Harvest. Now, why did you join the church planting team from the very beginning?
So I met Pastor Walter at his former church where we sent out the plant. But, you know, it was a very formative time in my life. It was a time where through God's saving grace, you know, the gospel really made sense to me. You know, so the Lord opened up my eyes to that. And I spent 5 years there, and during that time, I really immersed myself in church life, serving in various ministries. But I think through that process, you know, I lost touch with a lot of the friends I had made in my former life. But there were people that continued to still be on my heart. I continued to pray for them and their salvation. And so when the opportunity for a church plant presented itself, I really thought that this was a way that I could invite them. People who just have some sort of negative thoughts or fear of going to church. And I just wanted them to get in to a place where they could hear the good news. And I thought, you know, God would take care of the rest.
Amen. And as you're part of this church planting team, what were some of the joys and struggles, some of the highs and lows of being a part of that group that helped to start a new church?
Yeah, you know, definitely some of the joys was immediately putting Sung to work, moving chairs.
So you're the one that did that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, and no, honestly, though, like, just, you know, seeing Brother Sung come to faith, you know, just the conversions and baptisms and seeing people who just, you know, for one reason or another, church is hard for them, coming to an established church and helping them to get plugged into a community that was unique for them, where they felt accepted. And so those were really the joys. Not really, you know, the lows weren't anything different from regular church, but, you know, in a church plant setting, it's much smaller. Mm-hmm. So you just really get to form a lot of personal relationships with people. And so it was always hard if someone left for different reasons, good and bad, but, you know, the absence of those people would be felt a little more in that setting.
Sure, sure. Thanks for sharing that. And in what ways did you grow and mature as a Christian because you were a part of this church planting team?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, prior to the church plant, probably a lot more selfish, and my perspective was a little bit different on how I viewed people outside of the church or even viewed the local community, but you know, being part of the church plant, you're really forced to just, you know, pray over the people that are going to be coming into church, praying for, you know, those who are unsaved and even the members of the church. So it really shifted my priorities and just the love that I had for the church body.
That's awesome. You know, at our church, we have some people that are very interested in and even committed to being a part of this church plant. But we also have, I think, several people who are maybe on the fence about joining the church planting team. Now, what would you say to them, for those who are on the fence about joining?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just why don't you just see what God can do? You know, you don't have to have any kind of special talents or gifts. But, you know, God really wants to use the people of the church to reach other people with the gospel. I know that when we started the church plant in Howard County, a lot of people had questions on why we needed another Korean-American, Asian-American church in the county when there were already established ones. But, you know, as I kind of talked about earlier, we were really able to reach people that we don't normally wouldn't, you know, and you're going to be able to meet a lot of people that you probably don't, your lives don't necessarily intersect with. And so I think it's a really cool way for you to put yourself out there, and God's going to grow you through that process as well.
Amen. Hey, brothers, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your stories with us. Christ Central, can we thank them? Oh, there it is. Now, I have the pleasure of introducing our guest preacher today. Let's wait for the pulpit. So Pastor Walter Lee is the senior pastor of Harvest Presbyterian Church. He planted the church, and he is now in his 11th year serving as the pastor of the church. He is married to Susan. They've been married for 26 years. They have three adult children. Kristen is a college graduate, and they have twin boys, Sean and Ian, who are college freshmen. Now, I could tell you a whole lot of things about Pastor Walter, but I'm going to just tell you two things. First, he is my older brother in Christ, much, much older, much more wiser. And I always like to tease him because he's one of the few guys in presbytery that's older than me. So I love it that someone's older than me. But more than that, Walter is one of the guys that I respect and love the most. And he is one of my closest and dearest friends. And I just count it an honor and a privilege to get to serve with this brother, not only at the presbytery level, but also at the denominational level. And secondly, he is an amazing golfer. Probably the best golfer pastor I've ever met. So Pastor Walter, why don't you come and preach God's word to us. Let's welcome him, Christ Central.
I think Pastor Albie would beg to differ. What an honor it is to be here with you. Before I begin, will you stand and as I read the word of God for us? The word of God comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. The word of God says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me before we begin? Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much for sending your son, your only son Jesus, to toil among, to be with us in the dirt as we sing, and for being our redemption, for paying a cost that you didn't have to pay so that we would have life. God, I pray that that message would never be forgotten. And I pray that as we, Lord, unpack the implications of that for us and for this beautiful body, for Christ Central, that your message would ring true. We pray that you would use an instrument that is fallen and broken, but redeemed, to honor yourself and to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. It is always an honor and privilege to be able to come to Christ Central, to be able to share God's word with you. I want to thank Pastor Owen, a true brother. He is truly a brother to me, a dear friend. In a lot of ways, God used him to be a lifeline to me. And so I'll do anything. I'll follow him anywhere. He's actually older. But I want to thank you, the leaders of Christ Central, for inviting us today. It is even a greater privilege because today I get to share with you unashamedly about our church, Harvest. Normally, that's not what I'm asked to come and talk about, but that's what I get to do today. And it's kind of like being invited, somebody inviting you to share or brag about your children or something that you're really proud of. I mean, you do it anyway, right? You share anyway, but this time, when you're invited, you don't get the eye rolls and people looking at their phone and scrolling. It's something that people want to hear you talk about, and that's how I feel this morning. I feel excited because I'm invited to talk about a church, a church that I call more than just, you know, the church that I work at or the community that God has entrusted me to be a shepherd over. It is really my family. It is a church that I've come to love, to see it birth from the beginning to the place where we are right now. It's a church that, you know, knows me very well, knows my family very well. There's no presumption. There's nothing that I can hide. They know my weaknesses. They, you know, they appreciate my strengths and my gifts. And I can be real with them. And the people that I'm entrusted and privileged to serve with and pastor, I consider truly my friends. They're my friends. I love hanging out with them. I don't know if they like hanging out with me, but I love hanging out with them. It is truly a family. There are so many things. There are so many things that I could share about how being a church planter and pastor over Harvest has been a blessing to me on so many levels. But to be honest, and I have to be honest with you, being a church planter, starting Harvest, planting Harvest was not something that I originally planned or even something that I wanted to do. Before planting Harvest, I didn't see myself as a church planter. I didn't want to be a church planter. In fact, there was a time when I vowed to God and to anyone else who would hear me, my wife, right, that I would never plant it. Don't worry, we're never going to plant a church. I will never plant a church. You know, it's kind of like that Christian who says that I will never become a missionary. I will never go to Africa or South America or anywhere in the third world. And then God has a way, a funny way, an ironic way of actually making you eat your words. Well, that's how I was as a pastor and a church planter. And the reason that I didn't want to be a church planter, number one, I didn't see myself as necessarily having the gift sets. I had a lot of friends who had church planted, who were planters, some of them who struggled, but some of them, even those who were very successful, successful, however you want to define that, I saw them all go through a lot of hardship. I saw them suffer. I saw the difficulties and the challenges. People and friends and pastors who are far more gifted than me, far more godly than me, who are struggling. And I was like, man, if they are having such a hard time, I mean, my goodness, what's it going to be like with me? So you can understand that church planting was just it was not on the radar at all. I never even considered it. But when God has a plan for your life, it doesn't matter whether it's something that you don't want to do. If it's in his plans, it's something that you're going to do. Church planting was in God's plan for me and my family. And I wish I could tell you that, you know, all the fears and the thoughts and all the apprehension, all the reasons for my apprehension for not wanting to plant a church, you know, they were unfounded. They were just, I was just being paranoid. But that wasn't true because it was really, really hard. It was really challenging. In fact, it was a lot harder and caused a lot more heartache and stretched me farther than I ever imagined. In fact, if I would have known what I went through, if God would have given me a little snapshot, a little preview of that, like, there's no way I would have ever done it. But that's what happened. And this is why I'm here today. And this is why Harvest is here. In retrospect, it was God's providence, provision, and power that he demonstrated through Harvest, a new church that will be to the praise of his glory. So even though it was hard, I'm very thankful and blessed. And looking back at the past, you know, 10, 11 years, there truly are no regrets. There truly are no regrets. One of the things that I remember telling the leaders of the church that sent us out, that gave us the opportunity to plant a church, that I remember telling them that, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we're going to look back, and You're not going to regret anything. And I can tell you, I'm still friends with a lot of elders at that church. Still have a lot of relationships with the people in the church. And I have never heard anyone utter one word of regret. But we're very thankful for the opportunity to bless us and to send us out. So as you embark on this mission, Christ Central, to plant a church in Tysons, to reach more people with the gospel, whether you stay here as a sending church or whether God calls you to answer the call to be a part of this launch team in this new church, there are two things that I want to share with you this morning from our passage. The first thing is the mission always has a cost. The mission always has a cost. The second is that the ultimate mission, our mission, is more than just growing membership and growing as a church. It's to grow in maturity. It's to grow in maturity. So the first, the mission always has a cost. The book of Acts gives us this beautiful picture of the kind of impact the gospel made on the first generation of believers who had come to faith. Both religious and irreligious folks were transformed by the power of God's grace and the message of the good news of Jesus. To be this grace-filled community that did life together. It was a safe place where people were able to come to share their stories, their heartaches, to mend their wounds, to do life, to eat, to have fun, and to reach more of their friends. But as beautiful and as ideal as this community was, the mission wasn't just to grow this community in Jerusalem. We know that. It wasn't just to be this impressive community, to be a beacon of light for the world, that everyone would look to Jerusalem, all that church in Jerusalem. That wasn't the mission. We know that the mission was for that message to go to Judea, to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The mission wasn't just to grow, it was to go. It was to see that the gospel would spread and reach people who had never heard of Jesus. But if that message were to go, and if people were to not only hear and believe in the gospel, but be able to grow, to see the gospel message become a part of transforming how they see themselves, how they see their relationships, how they interact with the world, how they see a vision for their life. If that was going to happen, it meant that there needed to be communities to nurture that growth. And if those communities were to be there, it meant that the people had to make the sacrifices to see those communities there. In other words, someone had to pay the cost. Someone had to, in other words, suffer. And I think that's what Paul is talking about here in this passage in Colossians chapter 1. Filling up what is lacking with regard to Christ's afflictions. Now, we know that Christ's afflictions was not lacking in any way to deal with our sin, to make peace with God, to give us a righteousness that's not our own, to deal with our evil. We know that Christ and all that he did on that cross and then on the third day when he rose again was absolutely sufficient to bring us to a place of reconciliation with God. We know that. So Paul can't be in reference to anything on that theological level. But from a practical standpoint, there are people who didn't hear the message. There were people who didn't have access to that message. There were people who didn't have access to safe places where they could see how that message could transform their lives. And because of that, someone had to pay the cost to build those communities, to plant those churches, so that those people will come to faith. And so when Paul reflects on his life, when he reflects on all the heartaches and hardships that he went through, and we know that he went through a lot of heartaches and hardships, and he went through those heartaches and hardships because God called him to be a church planter. But more than just to be a church planter, to start movements of church planting, to be a missionary, to start churches so that the gospel would go, so that people would come to believe, they would have safe communities where they could grow and be saved in the gospel. And Paul reflects back and he says, I rejoice. It was hard, but I rejoice. Because someone had to pay the cost. And that was me. Listen to how he says it. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, what Jesus did is enough. It is enough to pay not only for the debt of our sin, it is enough to satisfy the wrath of God and make those who were not acceptable to be called sons of God. Yes, it is sufficient. But if people don't have access to that message, if the hindrances to prevent people from hearing or understanding or fully getting that message are not broken down, then that message doesn't go. And the body doesn't grow. And that's why somebody has to pay the cost. Christ Central, I want you to remember that your ultimate mission as a church is to fulfill God's mission for the church. And his mission is to reach people with the gospel. And as you've heard, I'm sure you've heard over the past several weeks during this month that focuses on what God is doing cross-culturally. The most effective way of doing that is the most effective way of reaching more people who haven't believed the gospel is through new churches. Not through existing churches, but through new churches. And this is why your leaders, the session, and Pastor Owen have made the intentional decision to be willing to make sacrifices. And they are very real sacrifices. Because your mission is more than just to grow this body, to be this impressive city, like city on a hill, where everyone can look and say, wow, what God is doing over there. And I'm not saying that that's not important, because there is an aspect of that that is for the glory of God, the work that God is doing here. But that's not the ultimate mission. The ultimate mission is to see people who haven't heard the gospel, who don't know Jesus, to create the spaces, to plant the communities that would usher in a new generation of believers who would be transformed to the glory and the honor of God. That's your ultimate mission. It's not somebody else's mission. That's your mission. And that's what your leaders have come to take ownership over. During a time that, you know, some might question the wisdom. Like, what? During a pandemic, really? We're trying to get back to a place where we're not even where we were pre-pandemic. Not even close to that. And here we are trying to do this. Now you're telling us we have to, or we're going to split our resources, or we're going to divert our attention. I mean, don't we have to take care of everything here right now? And I'm not saying that that's not important, but especially sometimes during this time, maybe some of you are questioning that. Well, we have to go back to the whole idea of what is the mission of the church? What is God's vision for this church, for the church? And how does Christ Central, how are we to contribute to that? How are we responsible to be good stewards to see that mission going forward? And that's why I'm so excited, so encouraged by the vision of your leaders to take this step of faith. And it is a step of faith to go forward and boldly, courageously say, this is our mission. And we're going to pay the cost. Because this is God's mission. How encouraging is that? The mission, brothers and sisters, always has a cost. Someone always has to pay. And I hope we sense the redemptive, like, echoes behind that. Because isn't that the whole foundation of our salvation? Like, we benefit because someone paid the cost. That was Jesus. And don't you see what we're given the opportunity to do? To pay a cost that someone else will benefit. And there are going to be lives that are transformed. Eternity, eternal destinies that are changed because of a cost that your church and your leaders are saying, we're going to pay. And that's to the glory and the beauty of God. Amen? The mission always has a cost. The mission is more than just growing our membership. It's also growing in maturity. Paul's ultimate objective wasn't simply to make sacrifices to plant churches so that there would be an influx of confessions of faith and baptism. His ultimate objective was to lead people to maturity in Christ. And this is really what he states at the end of Colossians chapter 1. Once again, if you will read with me verse 28, he writes, "In him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." Paul made sacrifices, he served, he loved, not just so that unbelievers would come to faith in Christ, as important as that was. He did it ultimately so that he would be able to confidently say that he has done everything in his power to present people mature in Christ. Not just about giving birth to people and letting them go, but I want to walk with them. I labor, I suffer, filling up with regard to Christ's afflictions, so that at the end of the day would be perfected in Christ, so that they would grow on to maturity in Christ. In other words, Paul's objective, his ultimate objective, was always maturity. It was always that he would do everything in his power to bring people on to maturity. And because this was Paul's objective, shouldn't this be our objective for our own lives? And isn't this the ultimate objective of the church who has been entrusted with your spiritual life? Of course it is. That's our objective. And this, brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. This is why church planting is so critical and important. Because there is nothing like planting new churches that forces a community and individuals in that community to grow onto maturity. See, this isn't just about the conversion of other people. This is really about the maturity of your body. This is about the maturity of Christ Central. Because there is nothing more challenging, nothing more difficult, but also nothing that produces more blessing than the challenge of church planting. You know, I told you that I didn't want to plant a church, you know, 11, 12 years ago when God was stirring my heart for this. I didn't want to be a church planter because, you know, I knew what it would take. I knew the sacrifices. I knew the cost. And simply put, I just didn't want to pay it. And I thought I didn't have to pay it. But again, God had different plans for me. And I would, you know, kind of like what I shared earlier, I would like to say that, you know, it wasn't as hard or as bad as I thought it would be. That God was very gracious and protecting and shielding. And he was. He was very gracious and protecting and shielding. But it was a lot harder than I thought. It was a lot more difficult than I can even imagine. Sometimes I go back to thinking about, you know, the first year and the first couple of years when we were in existence, when things were really hard and difficult. And I got to tell you, sometimes I get triggered. I get triggered. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to be back in that place. I don't want to be reminded. In fact, you know, if I'm honest with you, if you would have asked me, if your church would have asked me, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago to come and talk about church planting, I probably would have said, no, you probably don't want me to come and talk about church planting because I will paint a very glim and very bleak picture that no one will want to go plant a church. But here I am 12 years later, 11 years later, and as I look back, I can tell you that there are no regrets. And I can tell you that if not for the experience of everything that I had gone through as a planter, yes, the good, but also the challenges, the difficulties, the nights that I was determined to throw in the towel, that I'm not the minister, the pastor, the friend, the brother in Christ, the follower of Christ that I am today. And what I realize is that the calling to be a church planter wasn't about them. God wasn't saying, you know what? You got to sacrifice. You got to take the hit so that other people can benefit. I mean, on some level, that was true. But when I look at my life, the trajectory of my life, and the things that God had taught me and how I grew, that really it was that I'm calling you to plant a church because I need you to grow into maturity. That in a lot of ways, I'm not the man, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the father, I'm not the friend, I'm not the spiritual leader that I would be had I not planted a church. It was about my maturity. But it's not just about my maturity. What I also learned was that it was about other people's maturity. And I'm not talking about the people like some who came to faith and who are growing in faith in our church. I'm talking about the people like Elder Young. Not that he was a baby Christian back then. But people like him, who I saw grow, who I saw mature and blossom because of the challenges that they went through. You know, I told you that I was really apprehensive and reticent about planting a church because I knew all of the difficulties and the challenges and the discomforts that it would mean for me and my family. But on another level, the reason that I was so apprehensive was because I knew that planting a church meant that I was going to ask other people to also take the hit. That I was asking them, what I was asking them to be a part of was something that was going to pull them out from things that were comfortable and natural and easy, and it was going to lead them to make great sacrifices and maybe even feel a bit of suffering. And that I just didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be the reason why other people were suffering. But as I, you know, as God gathered the believers, and as I saw them struggle, as I struggled, but then through the ebbs and flows, the valleys, but also the highs, I saw something beautiful. I saw Christians, brothers and sisters, blossom and grow, be strong, be men of faith, who knows what it means to sacrifice. I can tell you the level of maturity that I've seen in the people of my church. What I've learned is I will never, as a leader, as a pastor, I will never be ashamed of asking people to suffer for the sake of Christ. Not for other people, but for them. Because maturity is the ultimate mission of the church. Your spiritual maturity, Christ Central, is the ultimate goal and objective of the session at Christ Central. It is the responsibility that your pastor, Pastor Owen, bears. You see, they make this decision to plant a church not just for the other people who don't know, but for those who they have been entrusted who do know. Because this, planting a church, is a cost that will be paid by everyone. See, whether or not you become a part of the church plant, whether or not you're even considering being a part of the church plant, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect the whole church. The resources are going to be taken away. Communities are going to be broken up. You know, there's maybe even missed ministries because resources are directed other places and emphasize, you know, things that you feel like maybe we need to really focus on this in order for us to get to that place. Well, all those things are going to be maybe not what they could be had your leaders and had your church not direct all of the energy and resources in that direction. That's going to affect everyone. But that's good. Because as you and I know, especially for those of you who are parents, that there is nothing more harmful and disruptive to growth and maturity than comfort. Like if you want, there's nothing more destructive as a parent that you could do than to just spoil your kids rotten and to eliminate all the obstacles in their life where they're never required to go through challenges and to learn how to get over obstacles and to go through difficult and hard times. I mean, we know that. We know that if you're going to grow into maturity, it demands that you sometimes go through really difficult challenges. And that's why, even though it may not necessarily make sense to you, that's why maybe it's the most important thing for you. If the goal and vision that God has for your life isn't comfort and ease, to always feel blessed, to always feel comfortable, if the ultimate goal of God's objective in your life is spiritual maturity, then what it means is that the decisions that you make in life, it can't be just simply the path of least resistance, right? I mean, it can't. Because if that's what God's objective is for your life, that can't be the overriding principle why you make decisions. That would be so unwise. Because that's not God's objective. God's objective is maturity in your life. God's objective is maturity for your church. And so the decisions that your shepherds and your leaders and your pastors are going to make is not just what is the path of least resistance or the path of most comfort for your church. It is the path that they sense God leading, the Holy Spirit leading, to help this body grow on to maturity in faith. And that is why God has called you to plant this church. And that is why Pastor Peter and Jane have taken the call to pay the cost. Because somehow God is going to weave that into the story of their lives. To grow them and to grow everyone who answers the call to go with them. So 2 points of application as we close real quick. Number one, Christ Central. Would you be willing to pay for the mission? Would you be willing to pay for the mission? Remember that everything you have ever been blessed with in Christ, you have been blessed because someone was willing to pay the cost. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go. Doesn't mean that you have to go, but remember, everyone is willing to pay. Everyone pays. And don't be a person who pays reluctantly, begrudgingly, dragging your feet. Pay the cost generously, lovingly. If it means that maybe a very important part of your social, core leaves, would you bless them? Don't make it hard on them. Pray for them and love them. And even though it hurts, and even though it may mean discomfort for you, be a blessing. Because you know what? That is worship to your Savior. Pay for the mission. Number two, pray about being part of the mission. I don't know if, maybe, this mission month, and maybe, when they cast a vision to plant a church, maybe that was just something like white noise out there, and you're not really considering it. Something else somebody else is going to do, and maybe that's you. And if that's you, I would just ask you to reconsider and to listen. I'm not saying that you have to go, but I think everyone is obligated to go through that process, to consider. And even if it means, the conveniences of all the perks of what it means to be a part of a larger church with a lot of resources that has a lot of ministries that meets a lot of different areas, that it's going to mean that you're going to miss out on some of that, or that it's going to take certain sacrifices. Here's what I want you to remember. Never forget this. Whatever inconveniences being a part of the mission may mean for you, whether it's because they don't have a children's ministry or because they don't have this or they don't have that, and it means that my spiritual life or the life of my family is going to be sacrificed, here's what I want you to remember. If it is really true that maturity happens not out of comfort, but sometimes out of real challenges and suffering and difficulties, what it means is, while it may mean discomfort, it will not sacrifice spiritual health for you or for your family. Because if this is God's will for you, it will actually mean the path of greater maturity for you and for your children and for everyone who is going with you. So remember that. Pay for the mission. Be willing to pay for it. Pray about being a part of the mission. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the vision planting a church that you put on the heart of Pastor Owen, the elders of this church, this beautiful church. It really shows that, God, your spirit is working here, that you're stirring, that the values of the leaders in this community is more than what is normal and normative for the world. They're shaped by the gospel. And their heart beats for your heart. And I pray, Father, that you would truly bless them and lead them. And I pray that there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of work that still needs to be done. I pray that your Holy Spirit will do that work. Because I know one day when Pastor Peter and Jane and their family and all the families who go with them look back, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. Maybe even traumatic in some ways. But I know it's going to be good. And I know that the church here and the session members and all the leaders, who every one of them have their reservations. Everyone does have their fears. But I know one day when they look back, they will not regret it. And I pray, God, that you would empower them with courage and faith. And I pray that you will bless Christ Central, a beautiful body that is paying the cost for the mission, and they're going forward with the mission to mature their members. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.